I almost feel like this is, you know, 2021 called and they want their rants back. I took my mom to the doctor earlier this week, and I've never seen these kinds of explosive discussions in person.
Someone's sheltered.
You see it on, I don't know, social media. You see it on the news. You read about articles of people throwing chairs at airports. I've never witnessed it.
Wow.
Until Tuesday. Just real quick, I don't want to waste a lot of time because it's not worth it, but I just wish that people would stop this nonsense. It's really boring. But this very short, rotund person walked into the doctor's office, which requires masks, and they require proper masks because this particular facility / specialty has very sick patients. He had some wacky mask on, and they just handed him a surgical mask. And he went apeshit crazy on this gal. It was like watching Fred Flintstone turn into a Karen. I've never seen such a thing.
It's pretty funny that he's having a problem with masks at a doctor's office, right? In a medical facility. It's like, I understand you know, if you get upset about it at Costco or someplace, but you're in a medical facility. They wear masks all the time here. This is normal.
I know. She literally said, we have very sick patients. We have very old patients. We have transplant patients. And he looked at her and he said, I don't give a damn. I don't care. Took his mask off. They don't like fabric
masks.
Cloth mask.
A gator?
Yeah. Yeah. No, he had a cloth mask on. Uh-huh. And they require an N95, KN95, or a surgical mask. And they had surgical masks. She's like, I'm not asking you to buy anything. I'm just asking you to put this over your mask or take off your mask and put this on because it's not sufficient, according to CDC. Well, he had a whole tirade about the CDC, which was quite amusing. And when he took off his mask and almost started spitting at her and tried to, he was almost like leaping over into the area. I just said to my mom, I'm like, we're going. I didn't know if this fat fuck was going to pull out a gun. You know, I mean, he was absolutely, it went from zero to 6,000 miles an hour. It was absolutely crazy, James. I pulled my mom out of the office. You know, we were just waiting for some blood work. She'd already had a couple tests that they were doing. And I stuck her in the car and I walked back in and I said, you know, we don't want to listen to that. He was still yelling. And I was like, we don't want to listen to this. I'll be out in the car. And so the office manager knows us and she's like, fine. And so then I just ended up taking mom home and they sent out a mobile lab to take her blood.
That's disappointing that you didn't get to see the end of it. And also, Catherine, this makes you a terrible modern citizen because immediately you should have pulled out your phone and started recording it.
Oh, you know, I thought about it, but I was more concerned about
you know why you didn't do that?
Why?
You know why? Because you're normal.
I'm not an asshole.
Because you're not an asshole.
Yeah.
Because you're not a phone hole. Well, actually, you kind of are
a phone hole. God, stop. Stop. Anyway, I just had to get that out there. Stop this, people. Stop making this an issue when you're in places. I mean, it's so stupid.
I don't want to sound like a tough guy, but I think I probably would have gotten up in his face. And I say that because I have done stuff like that in the past.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about this last year when I was at Costco. Years ago, someone under his breath swore at me after we passed, too close, I guess. And I said, what did you say? And then he's like, oh, sorry, man. And it's like, we just had a calm conversation after that, but I didn't let it go. I didn't back down.
Right.
It turned out cool. It doesn't always turn out cool, but I'm just saying I have a bad temper and I'm not good with stuff like that. The other thing I want to say is shame on you, Catherine.
Why?
For using the term Karen.
Oh, I know. I hate that word. I hate that.
I find it both racist and sexist.
Oh my gosh.
Now, do you know why I feel that way about it?
Tell me.
Because it's a negative word. It's basically a slur that describes not only the race, but also the gender of the person you're describing. So it only applies to white women.
Right.
That's why it's sexist and racist, in my opinion.
And that's exactly what he acted like. I'm sorry. Call me racist. Call me sexist.
A white woman? You're a white woman.
I'm a white woman. No, I wouldn't. He acted like, it literally was like Fred Flintstone who just went ballistic.
I don't remember Fred Flintstone being a bad person, though.
No, but he wasn't. He was just short and stout like that. Okay. Like a Barney Rubble.
Barney, because Fred was tall and fat. Barney was short and fat.
Yeah, so maybe it was Barney.
Their wives were all tall, skinny, tall and skinny, though. So
I know, isn't that? And they wore pearls, just like in the 50s. Oh, my God. But anyway.
What was Barney's wife's name? It was Wilma.
That was Betty
Fred.
Wilma
was it
and
Betty?
Betty.
It was Betty
Rubble.
Oh, God.
Betty Rubble.
Betty. I guess that's why I always think of.
She was always my favorite.
Attractive women as Bettys because I was in love with Betty.
Yeah, Betty Rubble.
And I was in love with Marianne from the. I was about to say Gilligan's Island.
Oh my gosh, I turned on something the other day and Gilligan's Island popped up.
Oh, that's fantastic. That was a good show. It was stupid, but it was meant to be stupid.
It was stupid. It was. It was. It was very silly.
Was that the 70s or the 80s? When, I guess that was in the more 70s.
Gilligan's Island, I think, was the early 70s, wasn't it?
For me, that's kind of like the last great show. Not the last great show, but TV in the 70s died. Everything got really terrible. There was one point in the 70s and the 80s. 80s and 90s TV was almost universally awful.
Uh-huh.
And there was some good stuff from the old days, like The Twilight Zone, Gilligan's Island, stuff like that. It's like well-made, even if it's like the Batman was dumb too, but it was really funny.
Batman, right.
And then we've got a bunch of just absolutely terrible shows. Everything in the, you know, there's nothing I look back on. We were talking about this. I was talking about this with Christopher. He tried to watch Cheers again.
Uh-huh.
And he couldn't get through the first season because it was so bad.
Right.
These are shows that at the time were thought to be great shows, but really, in retrospect, were just awful. They were worse than what we have now, and they're worse than what came before it. Miami Vice is another great example. It was an awful show. That was really a genuinely awful show. But at the time, everybody thought it was the shit.
They really did. They really did. Even the fashion was awful. And
oh, I don't know about that. You know,
they were emulating the fashion. I think the fashion was awful. I thought it was awful then.
I think the linen suit. What's his name?
Don Johnson.
I think Don Johnson pulled off the linen suit pretty well.
Of course he did, but he was gorgeous back in the day. I mean, he was a good-looking actor. Well, he was, but I didn't like how they'd push up their sleeves and stuff. It was like they were trying so hard.
It was Florida. You got to stay cool.
No, that was silly. I mean, it was just silly.
Florida. I don't think that was necessarily a fashion decision. I mean, yes, it was a fashion decision, but on one hand, it's like, damn, it's hot. I got to pull my sleeves up to cool down here a little bit.
So take off your suit jacket. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, you can't
take off your jacket, though.
You're going to run around like a monkey.
What?
I'm just saying, you run around like an animal if you're not wearing a suit. Come on, have some respect for yourself.
Oh,
and his Tubbs, his partner, was wearing a full suit all the time.
Tubbs carried it off, I think, very well.
And that Testarossa, one of the worst probably Ferraris ever made, but it looked fantastic.
It was just all about visuals.
So here's the thing about my advice. I encourage everyone who can, I don't know what streaming service it's on now, go watch the pilot. The pilot's actually pretty good. Everything after that is a waste of time.
Okay.
Unless you want to see really bad TV. It's really funny that the pilot is actually pretty decent, but then everything after that is just awful.
I won't do that, but sounds good.
Okay. Come on. It's all pilot. It's like an hour and a half. Come on. How bad could that be?
Just an hour and a half. I can't get back.
Okay. Fair enough. And? I don't watch the K-dramas. You don't watch Miami Vice.
I haven't watched the K-dramas lately either.
Even though Miami Vice literally is your heritage.
Understand. Okay, so what are we talking about today,
James?
Well,
we can talk about more media. We talked about Fight Club a few weeks ago, maybe it was a month ago now. And my position was that a country that edits its media like that and is lying mm-hmm. to its citizens
yes.
degrades its citizenship.
Yes.
Is active harm. Like if you have to lie to your citizens, you're not doing yourself any favors in the long run because it reduces your citizenship's morale.
Right.
And I think that this is being played out right now in the Russian-Ukrainian war, where you have the Russian forces, who have a massive advantage in both men and equipment, mm-hmm. are getting their asses kicked.
Okay.
How is this big, massive force getting their asses kicked by a much smaller, much less well-armed force? I think it all comes down to morale. The Russians don't really want to be there, and the Ukrainians are literally fighting for their lives and their land.
Yes, they are.
The morale is just so much higher. And I know this is shocking to understand. You can't, none of everything comes down to the equipment you have or the numbers you mm-hmm. have. It's really about how you use it, right? In the end, if you don't know how to use the equipment that you have, the equipment is useless.
Right. They're still doing a great degree of damage, but I do agree with you that the morale.
That's the thing. The original Russian plan was it would be a 2-day war. They'd be in Kiev in 2 days. They would kill Zelensky. They would destroy the government, and they would replace it with their own puppet government.
Uh-huh.
That was the idea, because they would just roll this massive force in.
Mm-hmm.
They still haven't taken Kiev. So that didn't work. So they fell back on their old playbook, which is just bomb the hell out of everything. It doesn't matter what it is. If it's in front of us, we're going to bomb it because we don't know where the Ukrainian army is because our intelligence is so bad. We don't know where they are. So we're just going to bomb everything that we can see.
It's horrific.
I've come to this conclusion. Mm-hmm. Actually, I came to it a couple of weeks ago because of TikTok.
Okay.
I follow this guy. Mm-hmm. His accountant handle is Hypo Hysterical History.
Okay.
It's just some wacky Australian down there on the wrong side of the planet who's a military historian. And this guy, it's embarrassing how good his analysis of the war has been. He has a video he posted 4 days ago about how essentially Russia has lost this war.
Yes.
Ukrainians have won a defensive victory. And it wasn't until yesterday that I started seeing the mainstream media like BBC and Axios. Those, mm-hmm. for me, that's what I consider mainstream because that's what I read.
Right.
It wasn't until yesterday that they started talking about that exact same thing. Mainstream media is 3 days behind the analysis of TikTok. And this isn't just a standalone. He's been ahead of the curve on all the analysis since the beginning of the war and even before.
Right. Well, you sent me the TikTok and I watched it and I thought it was quite impressive. I don't think he's wacky at all.
He's wacky in that he's this huge orange Australian surfer who you don't think is about to lay down the truth to you about the geopolitical facts.
Right.
But that's exactly what he does. Literally the video that you saw, I don't know if you realize this, but behind him are the surfboards that he builds.
I saw the surfboards. Yes, I saw that. That's awesome.
He studies ancient battles like from Rome and Greece and stuff, mm-hmm. and he surfs.
I love it. I didn't know anything about him. I thought that it was quite an impressive video. So what do you attribute the time lag between, you know, analysis essentially 3-4 days ago to hearing something yesterday?
I don't know why our media is failing us so badly, but it is. Mm-hmm. I mean, sure, it's getting the story out, but it's not doing it in a timely fashion.
And what? Why?
There's a 3-day lag between this guy who's doing his own analysis of his own sources, mm-hmm. and credible sources, because what he says, his quote predictions, always seem to come to pass.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Why is the BBC and the New York Times, why are they not able to have this level of analysis? You know, what is stopping their organization from doing good analysis like this?
Well, do you think it's the organization or do you think it's the on-the-ground individual reporters?
I think it's both. If you're reporting on Ukraine, you should be looking for good sources for analysis. So why they're not using the same sources that this guy is using and being able to draw the same accurate conclusions means that you're not a good journalist. And if the organization can't see that and can't support that, that's a failure on both parts.
Do you think they're censored in some way?
I wouldn't think so. I mean, I would hope not.
I don't know. I'm not a journalist.
Yeah, it could be that. I don't know. It's disappointing that I can find some random guy on TikTok that does a better job of analysis than the New York Times does. That's kind of disappointing.
Right.
Because he's not getting paid to do this.
Right. I'll actually download TikTok now and start following him.
Well, him, yeah. You have to be super careful with TikTok.
Yeah.
I'm not suggesting you use TikTok or Facebook as your main news source, but if you find someone trustworthy, and I followed this guy for at least a year, so I know, I have a long record with him, so he's built trust with me. So it's not the kind of thing you can just jump on and assume that everything you see is going to be correct, because a lot of it's crap. A lot of it's wrong. You know, half the people I follow are reporting on news or science or stuff like that. The other mm-hmm. half spend their whole day debunking the other half of TikTok.
Right. TikTok drains me. But I mean, if he has something good to say, I would be very selective and not take a lot of time, but, you know, look at his stuff. I feel the same way. I think there are good sources on social media, but you have to be quite selective.
Very.
And, you know, I'm a YouTube mm-hmm. person. I mean, not that I'm on YouTube. I just follow YouTube. I don't get my news from there. But there is a fellow I follow. It's Bo of the Fifth Column. And he does similar. I mean, very succinct, very good analysis of situations. And I haven't looked at any of his stuff like in the last several days to see how he's documenting this situation in Ukraine. But there are sources out there that are reputable and interesting.
Trustworthy.
Trustworthy. Yes. That's a better word.
If you go in blind and just start watching YouTube videos or TikTok videos, you're going to see people who sound like they know exactly what they're talking about.
Right.
And often don't. So it's a really hard, it's a hard balancing act. You have to spend the time to figure out who's who's legitimate and who's not.
No, I found his analysis quite interesting. And I guess the time lag was what stuck with me when we were talking about that. And it's just like, why? You know, it makes you question the source, like what we're seeing in real time, which seems to be real time. And is it not real time?
I think they're wasting their time reporting the wrong things and not doing enough analysis and not following the right leads and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So it's disappointing, really. It's just disappointing that the news organizations aren't more professional.
It is disappointing because these are important issues that affect the whole world.
And I mentioned this guy, this hysterical history before, in context of Joe Rogan. I don't know if we actually cut that part out from one of the episodes, but he had a great point on Joe Rogan because he used to listen to Joe Rogan because Joe Rogan's interesting to listen to. He has some incredible array of guests on there. He stopped because he came to a very simple conclusion that Joe Rogan isn't smart enough to have the right people on. It's not that Joe Rogan's a bad guy. He's just not smart enough to cut through the garbage.
I see.
So that's the point. Speaking of laptop art.
We were? Whoa.
You know what? I think maybe we should be.
We should be. That was a cute article you sent me. I liked that article, but I thought it was clickbait.
Why is that?
You sent me an article, and the article's title is From Vans to Harry Styles. And I'm like, okay, Harry Styles, great.
I don't even know who that is.
I don't really either. It's just one of my friend's daughters went to the concert, and she was the one that got in the car accident before the Harry Styles concert. And she said he was like really cute. I mean,
this makes you sound a little old.
Well, I'm not young.
My friend's daughter went to this.
My friend's daughter went to this concert.
And so I guess that's what the kids are listening to now. I don't know.
But, you know, Harry Styles is not from my generation or yours either or ours or whatever.
We're the same generation. So.
Yes.
So. Anyway, that was not the title of the article. The title of the article was Laptop Art From Vans to Harry Styles.
From Vans to Harry Styles. And I was expecting to see a picture of Harry Styles.
Well, did you look at every single...
I did. I didn't see Harry. But anyway, they never referenced Harry Styles.
I'm seeing Medusa in one of these pictures now.
Uh-oh.
Anyway, so I'm sorry. Let me explain.
Okay, explain.
BBC article, this supposed, we'll get back to this name, but this supposed photography student at Falmouth,
right.
And Exeter University. Mm-hmm. Oh, they share the same the library, so he's in the shared library.
Yeah.
His name is Thorsten Mjolnir.
Thorsten
Mjolnir. I can't pronounce these goddamn Danish names, but we'll get back to the name later. But anyway, it's a photography student who is photocopying the laptops of his schoolmates. So if he sees an interesting laptop covered in stickers, he asks the student to go take it to the photocopier, the color photocopier, and he makes basically what is a perfect reproduction of it because there's no distortion. It's just flat out scan, which is really kind of nice. So that's what we're looking at. And I found this interesting because I don't know if this really falls into the art category, but it falls into the archaeology, more of like archaeology, like modern archaeology. Like we're kind of doing a dig on ourselves.
Right. Because he said he was fascinated by how people like mark their possessions. I guess that's been a passion of his, allegedly.
Right. So we're seeing kind of in real time what the youth, what the utes.
What the kids are doing.
What the utes are doing.
Utes. I'll remember that from my cousin Vinny.
Yeah. Utes. Okay. What is a ute?
Let's just keep going.
That was Munster, right? What was the
It was Herman Munster.
Herman Munster.
Yeah, the famous actor Herman Munster. That's exactly who it was.
Good movie, worth watching. It's not a great movie, but it's worth watching. So anyway, these laptops are, some of them have one or two stickers on them, but some of them are just covered in what looks like a psychotic burst of emotion from the internet or something. I don't even know how to describe it. I can't decipher this. My question is, if you had a modern hip psychiatrist look at these things, could they deconstruct the persona of the person who has this laptop?
I think absolutely yes, because even this Thor guy.
Thor.
Said that after he looked at several of these images, then he could pretty much pin down what their like majors were, their major interests.
That was an interesting point. He said he started to be able to figure out
what they were studying,
just based on the laptop stickery, what they were majoring in.
Exactly.
You know, I don't know if I'd be able to do this. I think you have to be a kid and be in the know and understand all these cultural references. So it's a little bit like archaeology. You're digging through these references to try to figure out what is going on here. There are a lot of hippies here, there are a lot of birds, and there's a lot of crazy stuff going on in these things.
What I thought was interesting is he said when he'd look at the laptops, there'd either be like no stickers or a lot of stickers, and or just maybe a few stickers. So they were either all in, they were either all in, or they were minimalist to some extent. Do you have any stickers on your laptop?
I don't, but I keep wanting to put them on. I just don't find the right stickers.
I don't find the right stickers.
I do have one that I almost put on. But, yeah, the other problem is I have an older MacBook and it has the curved surface, and I'm too much of a perfectionist to put a flat sticker on a curved surface because I know it's not going to quite fit.
It'll kind of bubble or crimp, and then you'll get air underneath it and then dirt, and it's gross. I'm kind of a, not necessarily a neat freak if you saw this house, but I am particular about my laptop, and I like to keep it covered and safe, and I don't want to put anything on this. I'm not old.
No, you're not old. I said you are an old.
An old.
It's just another way of denigrating your age.
What? Stop.
What? I didn't say anything. Oh, stop being a Karen. Or Catherine. Stop being a Catherine.
Stop being a Catherine. No, this laptop was expensive, and I don't like, I don't want to have like scratches on it. It was.
Baby.
No, anyway. It is my baby. It's baby Mac. Leave him alone.
As I was looking through these, what I kind of came away from is, as you point out, the minimalists kind of have something going on, and the maximalists have something going on.
Correct.
So they're basically kind of three categories you can make out of these. There's the minimalists who have only a handful of stickers, and you can see most of the laptop cover. Then there's the muddling middle, I don't know what you call them, who have kind of an average number. They have a few. It's not minimalist. It's not maximalist. But then you get to the maximalists who have, you know, every inch of their laptop covered.
Covered.
And I was really drawn to the extremes, either the minimalist, because they seem to have a more of a curated, like they have an idea of what they're trying to say here. And the maximalist just looks like an explosion of stuff, of thought and creativity and weirdness.
Right.
I kind of like both of those. The first one I'm looking at has looks like Medusa. It looks like it has a Russian cosmonaut and Dickies, which is Dickies is
I see that.
The tough wear for plumbers and stuff. Plumbers wear Dickies.
Really?
Yeah. You know, it's a brand. It's a brand of clothing, and they make tough clothing for contractors and stuff like that.
Oh. I thought it was streetwear.
And they have Starry Night. They have the Flamingo. They have a cactus. They have Santa Cruz. I don't know, Nike, Coca-Cola, Vans, a cat, some weird hand with eyeballs and a mouth in it.
With a little peace sign. I like the peace sign.
They have Ricky and Mort reference. They have Jurassic Park. But how are you supposed to deconstruct this part? This person is a psychopath. So is it art? I don't know that this can be construed as art, but it's just an interesting expression.
Well, I think it's an interesting expression. I've always wondered why people did that to their laptops. Just a stream of consciousness right now talking about this. But, you know, we're so involved in our laptops and our life becomes our little screen.
Well, the laptop is like the Swiss Army knife. It's the everything for these kids these days.
Yes.
It's kind of like, it's, you know, 30 years ago, it was your car. Your car would have been your favorite thing that you had. It took you wherever you wanted to go. It was like your main Swiss Army knife. And what did people do with their cars? They covered them in stickers. So this is kind of like a transition from that, I think.
Okay, so it is the Swiss Army knife. But isn't your laptop everything to you? How much time do you spend on your laptop?
It's different, though. I think there's essentially different the way the kids see the laptop. I've been using computers for 30 or 40 years. I don't even know how long. Let's say 40 years.
Wow.
And it used to be different because they used to be a lot more expensive. I mean, granted, yes, they're still like $1,500, but $1,500 in 1980 dollars is a lot more money than $1,500 in today's money.
Yes. So
it's a very different vibe as to what these things mean to us versus the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, you know, my first computer that I had was a hand-me-down Mac, Macintosh. The only two things I could really do on it, since it wasn't connected to the internet, was I could play Lode Runner, which was a really simple side-scrolling game, and write my papers on it.
Right. Yeah, they were mostly like word processors back in the day.
But now, you know, you write your papers on it, you do your research on it, you contact your friends on it, you know, Skype.
Skype. Hello.
How old am I? You FaceTime with your friends and your family on it. It's just a gateway to a different part of your life, or maybe more of your life than you
think
really
it
realize.
Is your life. I mean, sometimes I feel like I just live vicariously through my devices.
My generation, I think a lot of us still look at them more as tools. Mm-hmm. As rather than this portal into a different world.
I see it as a portal. I like the portal.
That's unfortunate.
It's disturbing. It disturbs me even admitting that.
You know, to some degree, it's the same thing. I mean, I think we have, I don't know how to say this, but I think that the way we approach our devices is different, and it's a generational thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a huge difference, but I think there is a difference there.
Between you and I, or between us and them?
No. We are the same generation.
I know we are.
Between us and people 20 to 30 or 40 years younger than us.
Right. Well, we had to kind of grow up with the technology, you know, as a technology.
No. I don't know why you said that. This is exactly the opposite. We had to grow into it. It was grown. We had to catch up to it.
Well, yeah, we had to catch up to it.
But we weren't born into it.
No, we weren't born into it. Yeah, maybe that came out wrong. But like when the computers first came out, and I remember the first computers, my father was involved in a software business right when he retired, and he had his own little software company. There were always computers around this house, but it never interested me because I just wasn't interested.
And you didn't have to be interested, right? Because you didn't need it to do anything in your life, really.
No, and it was so foreign. It was all that binary. It was the old DOS language. Nothing made sense to me. I didn't even understand how this could ever work.
But how fast were you to get on board with driving a car?
Moderately fast.
Really? Okay, that's, well, you're...
I wanted to drive, but I was afraid of it.
Okay, no, that's
fine.
Because
I'm afraid of everything.
But you wanted it.
Right.
The car and the computer have reversed, right? For young kids or kids, mm-hmm. that's not even young, just people anyone under the age of, say, 30 mm-hmm. or maybe even 40, mm-hmm. the computer is more important than the car. When we were growing up, the car was way more important than the computer.
Oh, absolutely.
Like Ferris Bueller's Day Off, right? He gets all upset that his sister gets the car and he gets stuck with the stupid computer. Could you? If that was done today, the roles would be reversed. It's like if the 16-year-old says, "Hey, Mom, can I have a computer?" "No, your sister's getting the computer." He's like, "Damn it, I want the... Come on, Mom, right. I really want the computer."
That's a good point.
How can you shaft me like this?
That's a great point. When I said grow up with the stuff, I didn't mean like grow... Well, actually, it was kind of a side-by-side as, you know, like those first forages into work life and when computers all of a sudden... I mean, I remember like going from a work environment where no one sat in front of a computer 24/7
right.
to like my last several jobs. And that's all. And I worked for a software company at the end of my right. my time. But, you know, we were all just like tied. I mean, that was our existence, was through email and you know, all of our little internal chats and the platforms we had to publish our documents, whatever we were working on, everyone could edit them.
So maybe I was more interested in this article because it expresses that generational change. I do want to come back with something that I said earlier about your little rant about the maskless dude.
Oh, gosh.
And I said, yeah, I'd probably get up in his face. And I was thinking about that a little bit more. I was thinking, you know, okay, I would get angry by that and I would probably stand up, but I almost always am able to repress my initial aggressive mm-hmm. behavior. And if I get myself into a situation like that, I usually don't lead out with throwing a punch. I don't
right.
do that.
Right.
I'm angry and I stand up and I feel like I'm going to punch someone. But then the smart part of my brain, uh-huh. I don't know where it is. I don't know. I wish
the
I could
smart part? Use,
I wish I could access it more frequently. But
you do.
Anyway,
don't cut yourself.
It says calm down. Approach this guy in a calm manner and try to just explain. You know, bring it down. Don't mm-hmm. go yelling at him. Just say, "Hey, man, let's step outside and talk about this." Or, "I totally get not wearing a mask, but this is, you know, we're basically in a surgical unit here. Let's just
right.
take it easy. Let's figure out what we're really doing here. You know, no one's trying to repress you. This is just, it's for everyone's safety."
Yes. Yeah. Which he said he didn't give a damn about. You
well,
know,
that,
but...
yeah. But, you know, if you bring it down, if you have someone else come in and try to de-escalate, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I want to say. I didn't want everybody thinking like some crazy person throwing
yeah,
punches.
Yeah, you're just a
place.
Hothead throwing punches.
Yeah.
No, I don't see that. And in my mind, all I am is about self-protection and safety and like that mitigation of risk. And all I could do was just get our asses up off the chair we were sitting in and get the hell out of the office. I just left. Two ladies locked themselves in the bathroom and they weren't even together.
I'm not talking about what you just said there. I'm just talking about your reaction. Your reaction makes a lot of sense. It's a logical and...
Yeah, I just needed to get my mom
good
out.
Good response. Yeah.
So anyway, is that it for today?